Welcome to the Digging Deep podcast, where we offer bereavement bites for time-pressed bereavement professionals. I'm your host, Heather Kightley, the president and CEO of GFD. For today's episode, we have Amanda Kelly, who is one of the co-founders of Awake Ashes, which is a green burial service that was launched recently in 2021. Amanda is a lifelong learner of science and nature. She began her career as a librarian. Such an interesting journey to where she is today, I think. She holds a master's degree in information science and an undergrad in technology and culture from Western University. Growing up in the Dundas Valley Conservation Area played a significant role in her life. After an accident in 2019 landed her in the hospital, she began a spiritual journey that led to her ordainment as a metaphysical minister, a podcast unto itself. We have to talk about that. She has studied many faiths, customs, and traditions, and recently received her license as a funeral planner with the Bereavement Authority of Ontario. Today, we're going to be discussing the rise of green burials and sustainable end-of-life choices. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you, Heather. Let's dig in.
Love it. So why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about your story and how you ended up here? I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I started my career path in a very different direction. I actually have a background working in municipal government. I began as a librarian. I made my way into economic development. I supported innovation programs in businesses of all kinds, as well as the municipality itself, for a number of years. And I think we all realize and experience in life that sometimes life has a lot of highs and then sometimes life has a lot of lows, and we can be hit by a lot of unexpected life events in a pretty quick succession.
And I feel like that's the only thing that is guaranteed in life, right?
Yeah. When it rains, it pours.
Yeah. And it's like a whole journey of ups and downs. And
yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah. So I actually grew up one of those folks who had a phobia of death and dying. My mom is a wills and estates lawyer, though. Okay. So we did talk about these things at home. It was on my radar, but it was definitely something that would keep me up tucked under the covers as a kid at night.
Like thinking about your own death or thinking about the death of people you love? What was the focus for that?
Mortality, my own mortality.
Generally.
In particular. Yeah. So when I was in my early 30s, I guess, I experienced a number of really emotionally challenging situations in my life. I had recently been divorced. Two of my pets had passed away. I was dealing with a very difficult mental health situation myself on a sexual assault and harassment issue that led me to have pretty extreme suicidality myself. So I actually began thinking about end-of-life options from my own perspective.
Wow.
And what I wanted for myself.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, my father passed away from COVID. And basically, my entire life had gone from having this phobia of end-of-life and mortality to being all-encompassing.
To it being just like right there in every single facet of your waking
every
moments.
Day, every
yeah.
facet,
wow.
Sitting on my couch, looking at my pet's urns, going for walks in the forest to clear my head, and having my own desires and wishes to just not be here anymore. So I began researching as a librarian. I began researching the end-of-life options in Canada and the trends and the options that are available to us. I realized that 75% of Canadians choose cremation. I also realized that scientifically, biochemically, cremation ashes could not return to Earth. And there's a few different reasons we can dive into the science. And I just couldn't accept that. I felt like if 3/4 of our population are choosing this disposition method and then realizing that there is no scientifically proven way to then go green, it's available in other countries. It's not available in Canada. And I just felt like that was unacceptable. So I started reaching out to the scientists who are doing this internationally leading work on actually biochemically converting cremated remains into living organic earth. And we had the conversations of how can we bring this to Canada? What does it look like for Canadians? How does the science change based on our climate and our soil here? And that began the birth of Awake. So what started as a realization that the end of life reality and conversations have become all encompassing in my life, I had to just kind of accept that instead of a fear. It's a path forward and my future. So that has brought us to Awake, and we are sustainable interments and memorialization for cremation ashes, and we do lots of research in science and soil in particular. So
there is so much to dig into there. But before we get there, I just want to thank you for sharing your story. That's, you know, I always think that the path that we all take to get where we are is worthy of a podcast of itself, right? So thank you for sharing that with us. And I think it really gives us a great context for the passion that you bring. Certainly, I mean, you and I have just met. We haven't known each other very long, but the passion that you bring to the work that you're doing is evident. And I can see that that is sort of all leading up to that. So thanks for sharing that. So let's dig into that science, right? You, one of the things that, so as a lifelong funeral director, second generation, especially working in communities that were very, like 98% cremation, scattering cremated remains was just a normal event that happened all the time. So for you to say that cremated remains are toxic is just interesting for me. So let's dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't think anybody knows that.
It is not a commonly known fact. It's quite a myth that cremated remains are nutritious for the earth, or that they will biodegrade or compost.
Because it's just bone, right? You think, at least certainly how the process has always been described to me, and the process that I've witnessed, the cremation takes place, the long bones survive, those bones are compressed or crushed in a machine to make them look like ashes. So you think, okay, this is just bone fragments. How can that be toxic?
Yeah, so there's three factors of the biochemistry of cremated remains that result in this toxicity to the environment. The first one is the pH level. So the pH level of cremated remains is 11.8. And as a comparison...
So is that a lot?
Yes. Okay. As a comparison, bleach is 12.
Okay.
So we have a pH level comparable to bleach. Second is the sodium content, because obviously our cremated remains are very, very condensed. They're very concentrated bone matter. We have sodium in our bodies as humans. The sodium content of one cremation is equivalent to 2 cups of table salt.
Wow.
So it's pretty much as high as you can get.
Pretty much.
And the third factor is the micronutrient levels of cremated remains. The micronutrients of cremated remains are so high, they are just off the charts compared to any fertilizer on the market, compared to even what many laboratories can measure.
So let me interrupt you there for a second, because I think we need a visual. Mm-hmm. So if I have cremated remains and I put them in my, I scatter them in my rose garden, what happens to my roses? What happens to the plant?
So the first thing as a visual is that those cremated remains will be seen there forever. So if you sell your home 3-4 generations later and someone were to plant something in that garden, they would see those cremated remains. Cremated remains,
even if they're scattered, it doesn't eventually work into the soil?
That's correct.
Okay.
So they do remain static. They're a completely static matter for tens of thousands of years. Archaeologists have studied them, which is really quite fascinating.
It is,
When they are beneath the soil, water, the sodium content dehydrates the plants. So our natural instinct is we need to water our plants more. The water actually compounds the issue, however, with the cremated remains, and it turns them into a concrete-like substance underground. We don't see it.
Really?
So we don't know this. Yes. So scattering areas that have operated for a long time, they have multiple sets of cremated remains in one place. Honestly, sometimes we'll need, if they want to do a remediation project to increase the soil health of that space, we'll need machinery to break up those remains, because they're like concrete. So that's kind of the one visual. When it comes to the plants, the effects that you're going to see are chronic dehydration. You're going to see burning redness around the tips of the plants. Wow. And ultimately, particularly if you're doing an entire urn worth of ashes, it is fatal to almost every plant species. There are some plants that are more tolerant of sodium content and really, really hardy. Think like a hosta.
Yeah. Hostas you can't kill.
Yeah, exactly. However, studies from, there's maybe three or four scientists in the entire world who study this. It's a very niche topic.
I know, right? Like everyone just sort of takes it all for granted that this is just all part of life, right? You just sort of have the carnivore remains, you scatter them, away you go.
Yeah. Fine, right? So, and theoretically, theoretically that would be true. However, the cremation process itself is what stops that natural process of Mother Nature doing her thing.
Yeah.
So we infuse those cremated remains.
So that's where your company comes in,
right?
So tell me a little bit about that. How does the science of what you're doing work?
Yeah. So we, first thing we do is our soil blend balances that pH level. It is developed to have a particular consistency to help that sodium leach and to spread in the environment rather than being kind of stuck in a very concentrated area.
Right.
And then thirdly, we balance 22 different micronutrients to essentially help them act as a timed release fertilizer.
Okay.
So our bacteria work with those cremated remains so that those very high levels of the calcium, of the phosphorus, of the magnesium are released a little bit at a time in just the right amount that plants can digest them, that they're bioavailable to the ecosystem, and they can actually return to Earth.
That's amazing. So you sell these products to consumers, and also you work with cemeteries to help with their scattering gardens and whatnot, is that right?
Yeah, so the majority of our work is working with cemeteries.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we help them to create green interment spaces for cremated remains. We specialize particularly in scattering gardens.
Yes.
And we work with a phenomenal team of landscape architects, water engineers, as well as scientists to sample the soil in that particular geography, make adjustments to our blend that is specifically designed to be successful at their site location. And then we, once designed and excavated, we fill the scattering garden with our product so that any scattering that's ever done there is automatically eco-friendly. And the magic of this approach, which took us about a year to develop and to really refine and perfect, the magic of this approach is that because every scattering in this garden will return to Earth, the interment capacity in that space is technically infinite.
Wow, that's amazing.
So our numbers are a minimum of 10 times greater profitability than a DIY scattering garden.
Wow, that is incredible. So I wish we had so much more time because I know there's so many things that we want to get into. So I'm going to pivot a little bit because you and I had a brief conversation before this podcast about how Mother Nature has had this wonderful recycling system for millennia called burial, right? And how we as humans love to interfere with that process and figure we can do it better. We can improve on that. And of course, as we learn, there's challenges that go along with that. One of the things that I know you have a passion about is natural organic reduction, or what is probably more commonly known as human composting. So let's talk a little bit about that. And then if we can, let's squeeze in a little bit about discussion of making green burial accessible.
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, let's do it.
So where would you like to start on the human composting discussion?
Let's talk a little bit about some innovations. So this is a fairly new technology. So for our listeners, they may or may not know even what we're talking about. So do a brief description of what it is. And then let's talk about some recent developments and how your company is hoping to sort of transform the process to make it more accessible.
Sure. So the first kind of background to note is human composting is a concept that also jumpstarts Mother Nature, that helps that natural decomposition of a body to be efficient, to be successful, to be healthy for the environment. We naturally have affluents and things that in a natural burial seep from our interments into the surrounding ground, and that does affect the plant life, the soil health, all of those things.
Yeah.
So the second thing to note is that the technologies specifically for human composting differ with every company, and some of them may seem like very comprehensive, and some of them may seem very, I've heard the word archaic used. One of the challenges with the prevalent composting solutions south of the border is that DNA matter is still present mm-hmm. in the soil end product, which means from many people's perspective that disposition hasn't actually been final. So then the question of where the soil goes and where, like, should it be in a cemetery if there is still,
because there's a cubic yard that is in your process that you're looking to bring, is that the same amount of earth that is left over?
Yeah. It's the same volume of earth. However, because we are a soil company and we're very aware and very educated on the bacteria and how to jumpstart and better create this process,
yeah.
we actually harness some of that healthy existing bacteria from each disposition to create a better and better and better result every time. So think of it as like a sourdough starter, you know, the sourdough kits.
Yes.
And people really
yes
tend
and no.
to and care for their sourdough right. starters, and they name them sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the longer you have it, the healthier that it gets.
So now the idea of human composting and sourdough will be forever entwined. Thank you for that.
Biotechnology, it is fascinating.
It's amazing. Yeah. You know, I feel like we could, we are out of time, but I feel like we could be going on for quite some time just about this new technology and what it's going to mean and the impact on the bereavement sector in Canada. And I know that there's some really interesting things that are happening in BC in terms of, you know, families going across border and trying to access this. So that we'll probably get you back on again and we can talk about that. I would love to have you close though, or end our podcast with just sort of a brief summary of what's driving your passion here as it relates to making green burial accessible across all communities, because I find that that's really fascinating. So we'll let you end on that.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I am a firm believer that regardless of what our client family's beliefs, personal traditions, denominations are, regardless of their disposition choices, we as Canadians should have a right to choose that disposition and make it green. That it shouldn't be one or the other.
It shouldn't be like green burial. You can have green burial or you can have traditional, whatever that means, right?
That's right.
Because those are just constructs, really, that we've created.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I, like you said, I'm very passionate about making green options accessible and available to every Canadian from every background, from every geography, and with every disposition and interment choice. And that is a massive driver for me. I just think it is part of our culture and our fabric as a country. And it's important that we keep that position and keep that priority in mind as the green burial movement develops and evolves, that making it inclusive for every culture and every choice is paramount.
That resonates with me so much because, you know, and we sort of think of this as a green burial movement, but really wouldn't it be amazing if just what we do as bereavement professionals is just inherently safe? Right? I think about it not just from the perspective of the environment, but I also think about it from the perspective of the health of my colleagues, the people who are embalming, the people who are, you know, exposed to chemicals at work, because that's how these things evolved, right? Imagine if we just inherently baked into all of that a natural process. That would be incredible. If we could get the science to there, I think that would be wonderful, because it'd be wonderful for the people that we care about in our profession. So I think that we could probably talk for ages. So however, we are out of time. So this concludes this episode of the Digging Deep podcast. Amanda, I want to thank you so much for being here and for being our guest. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for you and your company. And it's great to have somebody with such passion and enthusiasm for the work joining us on this bereavement journey. So thanks so much for being here. Thank you to our listeners for listening, and we will see everyone in the next episode.